hindsight, they say it is 20/20. In other words, it's a lot easier to understand something once it is over and we can look back at it from afar. Our vision is much less clear when we're right in the middle of something. And I think it's easy for us to approach today's gospel reading in this way, this dramatic encounter between the disciples and our Lord on the sea. We know how it ends. We know that Jesus was never going to let Peter drown. He was not going to let the apostles' boat sink. But before we jump to the end of the story, let's really think about what happened in this moment. Jesus Christ is God. He is divine, which means he is omniscient. He knows everything. This God who knows everything, we're told in the gospel today, made his disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea, knowing full well that there was going to be a storm, that the boat was going to be battered by the wind and the waves, and yet he made them get into the boat and go out on the water. And then, when our Lord comes to them walking on the water, this storm is still raging. And as we learn at the end of the story, he has the power to calm the storm. As God, he is not only omniscient, but he's also omnipotent. He is all powerful. But he doesn't calm the storm immediately. He lets the wind and the waves continue to barrage them while he has this back and forth with Peter in the boat. And then the storm is still raging when Peter gets out of the boat to walk towards the Lord on the water. Talk about courage. Sometimes we're a little hard on St. Peter, but he was courageous enough to get out of a boat in the middle of a storm, thinking he could walk on the water. And it's only after everything else happens, after Peter starts to sink and cries out for help, after Jesus gets Peter back into the boat, after Jesus himself gets into the boat, only after all of this does the wind die down. He let the winds blow and the waves roar. Why? Why did he send his disciples out in the first place? And why did he wait so long after he got to them before he calmed the storm? Why? Well, what we call God's permissive will, the fact that God allows, doesn't cause, but allows storms to come up in our lives, will always be something of a mystery. We're never going to fully, completely, and in a satisfying way understand the answer to the why until we have the 20/20 vision of hindsight when we are in heaven. But here, I think, are three important lessons we can learn from this gospel account to help us when we face storms in our lives. First, Jesus is with us in the storm. He didn't calm the wind and the sea and then come to them. He came to them right in the midst of the storm while it was still raging. In the light of the first reading with the prophet Elijah, you had the violence of the wind and the earthquake and the fire, and we were told God was not in those things. But in Jesus Christ, we come to see that God may not be in the storm itself, but he is willing to come into the middle of it with us. How often when storms arise in our lives is our instinct to ask, God, where are you? We presume that a trial, a storm, and God can't coexist in our life. But that's clearly not the case. He's with us in the midst of it. And secondly, we learn from this gospel account that the storm is no threat to Jesus. Even though the storm continues to rage, you get the clear sense from the gospel that Christ is calm and in control throughout. It's interesting, in fact, to note that he's walking on the water. He's not struggling against the waves, flailing about in desperation, trying to stay up. He's just walking right in the middle of the storm. And as long as Peter keeps his eyes on Christ, he too can stand and walk on the water in the midst of the storm. It's only when we turn our attention away from the Lord and on to the waves and the wind that we begin to sink. The storm is no threat to the Lord. And when we keep our eyes on him, we're safe. And lastly, the storm is an opportunity for growth. It only makes sense that Christ knew he could use the storm for something good in the lives of the disciples. He would not have permitted it otherwise. And I think the key is found in his question to St. Peter after he has saved him from sinking. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Which maybe on the surface sounds like a rebuke or an expression of disappointment, but I think instead it was more of a call. A call from the Lord to faith. An exhortation to learn from this trial, to learn to have faith even in the midst of the storm. Not to doubt. You see, every time a storm arises in our lives, be it large or small, every time, it's an opportunity to grow in faith. The Lord allows these storms to test our faith, not out of some cruelty or because he's not sure how strong our faith is and he wants to find out. He allows the storms to test our faith because this is the way that faith grows. Often when I talk to our students about the virtues, I say the virtues are like the muscles of our souls, these spiritual muscles. And just as our physical muscles only grow when they come against some resistance, when we test them with heavy weights, for example, only then do our physical muscles grow. So it is with the spiritual muscles, the virtues. They grow by coming up against resistance. And so God permits these things in our lives because there's potential for growth in many virtues, but especially in faith. I don't know what the storms are in each of your lives right now. Maybe there aren't any. If not, don't forget to be grateful, to thank God for the calm and the peace. But no life is completely without them. Maybe they're small in the grand scheme of things, or maybe they're really big and heavy. But here's the thing we can take from this gospel image, from the very words of Christ. Whenever those storms arise in our lives, we need not be afraid. Christ is with us in the storm. It's no threat to him. And if we hold fast to him, the storm doesn't in the end threaten us either. Instead, we conquer it in Christ because it becomes a means to our growth in faith. And if we ever doubt the truth that Christ is with us in the storm, he's given us the greatest gift of his mercy, his abiding presence here in the Holy Eucharist. So if ever you find in your life a storm has arisen, and that question, "Where are you, God?" comes up within your mind, within your heart, come here. Come to the church. Come to the chapel. Come before the monstrance or the tabernacle. In a very concrete, real way, you will know he's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. One day, in heaven, when we look back with that 2020 vision of hindsight, we will marvel at how God was with us in the storm. That he was never going to let us perish. And we will thank him. We will thank him in heaven, not only for the comforts and pleasures, those things that we consider blessings in this life, but we'll thank him perhaps even more for the storms of our lives because of the greatness of faith that they called forth from within. St. Patrick, pray for us.